You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week two of our series, Winning the War in Your Mind. Change your thinking, change your life. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
You might be surprised to learn what is going through my head many of the Sundays that I stand up here. Yes, what comes out of my mouth most Sundays is nice sounding prayers and Bible verses and teaching and theology and long strings of coherent and well-crafted sentences. But what's going on in my mind, while my lips are moving, what's going on in my mind is often an entirely different story. In fact, I'll get real honest with you here just for a second. When I see someone whisper to the person sitting next to them, and if you've done that, if you're doing that right now, don't worry. I'm just being honest with you. But if I get honest, when I see someone whisper to someone sitting next to them, my mind begins to tell me, while I'm still speaking to all of you, my mind tells me that they're talking about me. And not necessarily in a flattering way, I should mention. Instantly, my mind starts to tell me that I must have just said something pretty dumb, or I must have said something wrong, or I must have just said something embarrassing, or something that person really disagreed with or was probably really upset about. And it's crazy because most of the time, and I really appreciate this, most of the time, many of you will take time to thank me for the words that I speak up here and for the messages I preach and you know, tell me how helpful they have been in your life or how impactful and I appreciate that. You know, it's crazy that all of that, all those kind words seem to escape me the very next time that I stand up here and start speaking and seeing someone whispering. As all too quickly, I'm convinced that they're unimpressed with me at best. Unimpressed with me at best and skeptical and disappointed with me at worst. And I don't share all that with you in hopes that, you know, more of you will compliment me after church. I really, 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 truly am not asking for that. I share all that with you to let you know that I know what it's like to have wires that seem like they get crossed in my head. I know what it's like to have a pretty harmless or neutral or kind of innocent experience or incident. I know what it's like to have something pretty harmless produce such a negative effect, such a negative lie in my mind. I share this with you to let you know that I know what it's like to have negative tapes that keep playing over and over and over again in my head. And I wonder how many of you have similar tapes playing in your head? Maybe not about people whispering about you while you're speaking in public, but destructive thoughts and destructive lies nonetheless. I wonder how many of you that have wires that get crossed up in your own head. What exactly do I mean by that? Let me see if I can illustrate it like this. I wonder how many of you have ever gone to visit friends or family members to stay for a weekend and you go to take a shower and they warn you like, oh, just a heads up, you know, the water's opposite. So if you want to, you know, hot water, you got to turn it cold. If you want cold water, you've got to turn it warm. You ever seen a, you know, plumbing like this? It's crazy, like somehow, you know, somehow things got crossed up. Like somehow along the way, the lines got crossed somewhere, somehow. And here's the truth, the very same thing. I'm not sure how or where it happens, but the same is true for us. Somehow along the way, wires get crossed, lines get crossed up in us. And all of a sudden, neutral or innocent or harmless experiences and circumstances, they trigger all sort of nasty and destructive lies in our head that don't stop. No matter how hard we try to convince ourselves to stop thinking that thought, these lies that flood into our head are relentless. Lies that say, you're no good. You always screw things up. Right? That's why you're lonely. That's why they don't like you. Nobody loves you. In fact, you're not smart enough. You're not pretty enough, right? You'll never reach that goal. You'll never get that job. You'll never climb that mountain. You'll never overcome that obstacle or, you know, fill in the blank for whatever it is for you. And if I'm honest, I guess I don't wonder how many of you, have that experience as much as I would suspect that it is true for more of you than not. That you have these kind of tapes playing, that somehow lines get crossed up like this. That is precisely why, if this is true for you like we suspect it might be, that is exactly why we've started this brand new message series called Winning the War in Your Mind. It's based off a book by Pastor Craig Rochelle. The reality is, Midcurrent, and this is what we've been saying as we've been introducing this series to you, the reality is that the quality of our thought life, it is often determined by the thoughts that we think, right? That the quality of our thought life often determines the quality of our everyday life and even our spiritual life at time. And that's why I love the subtitle of Craig Groeschel's book. It says, change your thinking, change your life. Change your thinking, change your life. We have to begin changing our thinking, gang. We have to declare war. It's kind of what Jonathan kicked us off talking about last week. We have to declare war on what is happening in between our ears, because the reality is, as Jonathan warned us last week too, the reality is just one lie believed to be true can create a lifetime of pain. One lie believed to be true can create a lifetime of pain. And I don't want that for me. And I certainly don't want that for you. And so today, what I want to do is I want to take that believed to be true part of that statement that I just referred to. I want to take the believed to be true part and I want to examine it just a little bit closer, because here's the scary thing, friends. The more we think a thought, this is what we have to understand today. The more we think a thought, whatever that thought is, the more likely we are to believe that it is true. The more we think a thought, the more likely we are to think it again and to believe it is true. And that's not just my opinion. That's not just a well-educated guess based on some things I have observed. That's not just some theory that I came up with. It's actually scientific in many ways. Now, I want to be very clear that I am not a scientist. Big surprise. I'm not a scientist and I'm absolutely not a neurologist, but it's fascinating to me when I dip my toes into that world, even in the slightest bit. It's interesting for me to learn about something that's called a neural pathway. Here's my best attempt at describing what a neural pathway is. When you experience something new or when you think a new thought, your brain, this is what I'm learning, right? Your brain literally kind of redesigns itself around that thought or around that activity, and it creates a neural pathway. The best way I think of it is a neurological highway that is constructed in your brain. And the presence of that neural pathway, that neurological highway in your brain, it makes it easier to think whatever thought that you just had. Makes it easier to think it again. That pathway in your brain has made it easier for that thought to travel throughout your brain and easier for your brain to send and to receive whatever message it is that's rolling around in there. Once the pathway is produced, the message is able to just travel all the faster throughout our mind. Right? The reality is that God designed our mind to look for patterns to help us. God designed our mind to look for patterns like this to help us to keep thinking the things that we need to be able to think and to keep doing the things that we need to be able to do. Right? And that's all well and good. This is a good thing, right? When we're trying to learn a new skill like, driving a car, or when we're trying to memorize, multiplication facts, it is very, very helpful that our brain has created a pathway to more quickly recall how exactly to, turn a steering wheel properly, or, what 12 times 12 is. It's a very good thing that God created our brains to be able to recall that stuff once we did it wants. But it's not so good when our brain is creating a neural pathway for a lie that has found its way into our mind. Because once we think that thought, even if it is not true, it will be all the easier for that same thought to be traveling through our mind. It'll be all the easier for us to soon believe that that thought must be true. Let me use myself just as an example here again, right? Based on what I shared with you at the beginning, here's an example with me. The first time that I tell myself, right, that I must be disappointing to people, right? The first time that I have that thought, they must be disappointed in me, the easier it is for me to think that thought again and again. And again, once I think that thought at one time, my brain begins to develop itself around that thought, and it's now created a pathway in my mind. It makes it easier for that thought to keep on traveling throughout my mind, making it all, you know, the more easier for me to believe something that is not necessarily true. And so the next time, here's what happened. The next time that I stand up here, that thought comes even quicker. Oh, wow, they are disappointed in me. Oh, wow, I must have just screwed that up. Wow, it must be all my fault, right? The pathway that's created makes it easier for my mind to think that again and again and again. The red carpet, in a way, has been rolled out, and that thought now has been given the green light to just keep on making its way round and round and round, and I get stuck then in a big old rut. And just like a muddy, washed out road after the rain or a long winter, ruts can be hard to get out of. You ever been stuck in an emotional or spiritual rut? I have a hunch that more of you than not have been stuck in some kind of rut, that you are probably shaking your head in agreement. And if that's the case, then I'm glad you're here today, because my goal for the rest of our time is going to be to help us to get out of the rut and to rewrite, to rewire our brains and to rewrite the nasty script that plays in our mind. And here's the deal. If science, not that science is the enemy of faith, because it is not, but if science describes the problem, the good news for us, I think, is that Scripture provides the solution. And so what I want to do is I want to look at what a man named Paul wrote in the New Testament book of Romans chapter 12. Paul was one of the first leaders in the early church. And here's a portion of what he wrote to some of the first ever Jesus followers in the city of Rome. He writes this. He says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world." Okay, he's saying, don't copy the stuff that you see around you. Don't fall into the same rut. Don't get stuck in the same cycle of destructive patterns and behaviors as everyone else around you. Don't conform to those patterns. But, he says, be transformed by the what? By the renewing of your mind. And then, he says, you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Midcurrent, we have to realize that our mind is a battlefield. And if we are going to win the war in our mind, what is Paul encouraging us to do? Right? He's saying we have to commit to renewing our mind. Why? Because what science, I think, and what now Scripture is helping us to see is that our life, it will travel in the direction of our strongest thought. And so rewiring and renewing our mind has never been so critical. It's never been as important. The Greek word for renew, and Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The Greek word, which is what most of the New Testament was kind of recorded for, that was the language was recorded for us. The Greek word for renew is the word anakinosis, which literally means renovation. Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the Greek word anakinosis, which literally means renovation. One other definition says it's a complete change for the better. So if we are going to be transformed according to God's good and pleasing will for us, and if we are going to win the war in our minds, we have got to commit to renovating and reconstructing the highways and the byways in our mind. What does that look like? Let me see if I can paint what I hope is a helpful picture for all of you. My family has a cabin just a couple hours north of the cities. And getting there the last two summers has been pretty miserable. On our way up north, we travel through two towns that are undergoing massive road construction, Anoka and Elk River. Anyone been driving through these towns lately? Yikes, 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 okay? They're massive road construction, reconstruction. And I'm not just talking about like resurfacing. I'm not talking about like shoulder widening. I'm talking massive reconstruction. In both places, there is incredible excavation of earth and rock in the demolition of road structures. I tried to Google these projects to see what was out there. I mean, this is small and it's grainy. This gives you a small picture of just the massive redesign and reconstruction that's happening. There is a complete redesign of the exits and new exits and the roundabouts, and they're constructing huge new structures, overpasses that literally direct cars, like they're like building up the roadways, directing cars like over the cities themselves so that local traffic can be traveling underneath on these new roundabouts and exits that they are creating. It is, the last couple summers have been incredible, the process that has undergone to make all of this happen. These two cities and these two projects, in my opinion, they're committed to anakinosis, right? Total renovation, an absolute overhaul and complete change for the better to the highways and to the byways of these little towns. Folks, the same has got to be true for us. Paul is telling us that the neurological highways and byways in our mind need anakinosis. They need a complete overhaul. They need total renovation and total reconstruction. We need some new pathways, is what he's saying, right? And if that's gonna happen, and if it's true that our brains, you know, designed themselves around the things that we think, then we need to commit to the discipline of giving our brains something new to think about, and more importantly, something true to think about. Okay, if this is gonna happen, new highways and byways constructed in between our ears, and if it's true that our brains design themselves around the things that we think, we need to commit to new things that we think. Most importantly, true things that we think. Here's what Paul encourages of a different group of followers, Jesus followers in Philippi, when he writes to them. Listen to this. He says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. This is his conclusion. I got one last thing to say. He says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right, and what is pure, and what is lovely, and what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He goes on, he says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. He's saying, keep letting your brain design its stuff around that, about what is true and right and honorable. Keep letting your brain design itself around all of the stuff that you receive from me, and then the God of peace will be with you. Folks, what we fix our mind on matters, because our life will travel and it will move in the direction of our strongest thought. And so here's the deal. We need to train our minds toward truth. We need to train our mind toward truth. When Paul writes that we are to think about these things, many translations say that we're to meditate on these things. The book of Psalms in the Old Testament encourages us to meditate on God's ways and to meditate on all the works of God's hands. And for some of you, meditation is like, sounds a little like new agey, right? You're like, eesh. Right? You know, non-religious people are meditating to become one with the universe, right? And so we kind of, you know, get a little weirded out by it. But that's really not what it is. The definition of meditate is simply to think deeply or to focus one's mind. So sure, while Eastern meditation is about the emptying of the mind, Christian meditation, the way that Psalms, the way that Paul is encouraging that, Christian meditation is not about emptying anything. It's not about emptying our mind. It's about filling our mind with truth. And I'm just to be clear here, I'm not necessarily talking about like positive self-talk and affirmation, right? What I'm talking about is an all-out assault on the lies that we let into our head. When my wife, Erica, hears me speaking out loud some of the lies that I'm tempted to believe, she doesn't just say like, oh, come on, Stan, I think you're great. Okay, lately, and this is kind of a new thing, I think the more of us realize the seriousness of what happens up here. Lately, when she hears me speaking out loud lies that she knows are not true, lately, she kind of like gets up my grill a little bit. And with a firmness in her voice that you don't always hear from my wife, Erica, right? She says, Sten, that's a lie. And you need to stop telling yourself that right now. I think in all of her wisdom, I think she's coming to a place that she realizes that we really are at war up here, right? And our life will travel in the direction of our strongest thought up here. And she realizes how important it is. She realizes the need to be firm and to be intentional with filling our minds with what is true. And here's what happens. Here's what happens when we do. When we do commit ourselves to filling our mind with what is true, when we do commit ourselves to doing everything we can to train our mind towards truth, here's what happens when we do. We start creating new neural pathways. You see, the same scientific principle that gets us into this mess, darn it, I just thought a lie and now my brain's got it on repeat, right? The same scientific process that gets us into this mess is the same one that when God's truth is applied to it, it creates a new neural pathway. It gets us out of the rut. Right? The reality is God created these narrow pathways to be a good thing. It's only because of sin and brokenness that they end up being a bad thing. It's only because of the brokenness enough that means our minds start to drift toward the lie, right? We have to understand this. Left on our own, our minds will just naturally trend toward can't and toward won't and toward not and toward never. Right? So renewing our minds, it means reconstructing the neurological pathways around what is true and what is right and what is honorable and what is worthy of praise. It's creating a new thought pattern in our mind, allowing our brain to design itself around what God says is true and around who God has called us to be. It's recognizing the rut that we got stuck in, and it's beginning the work of rewiring our brain with a total renovation and a total reconstruction of the thoughts that we think. So let me ask you this then, as we start to bring this to a close. What rut? Have you ever thought about this before? What rut are you stuck in? Where have you gotten wires crossed? Where have you gotten the lines crossed up in you? Maybe you're stuck in a rut that says, man, I'll never get married. Man, I just can't make real friends. Right? I won't ever beat this addiction. I won't ever overcome this shame. I'll never get out of debt. I'll never have enough. I'll never find a meaningful job. I'll never be good enough. I'll never feel close to God. God would never be pleased with me. Folks, the first step is recognizing the rut. The second step then, once we've recognized the rut, the second step is training our mind toward truth. In his book, Craig Groeschel, he calls it digging a trench of truth. We've got to recognize the rut, and he says we got to dig a trench of truth. A rut, he says, is something that's developed accidentally because of, you know, some, you know, bad habit that's repeated, you know, some pattern, you know, over and over again, right? A trench, on the other hand, is dug intentionally to transport necessary resources from one place to another, right? This anachinosis that I've been talking about today, it's the process of digging trenches, rerouting the traffic flow in our minds so that God's truth can begin to travel to the parts of our brains, the part of our hearts that need it most, right? God's truth has the ability to rewire and to reconstruct our brains. And so here's the deal. We're all in different places here, I get that, but here's the deal. For whatever it is we're going on, we've got to figure out a way to apply God's truth to it. So if we're lacking confidence in ourselves, we need to begin to declare to ourselves, you know what? I will boast in my weakness so that Christ's power can be seen in me. For I can endure all things through Christ who gives me strength. We've got to declare it to our life. Make new declarations to start our day. Right? If we've been struggling to know God's will, we can declare, I am not my own, right? My life belongs to Christ. Daily, I will seek him. He is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. We've got to declare it. If we're fighting lustful thoughts, we declare, I am not a slave to my lustful thinking. I'll honor God with my eyes and my thoughts and my heart. And even if I am tempted, God will provide a way out. If we're battling worry, we have to come to a place where we can declare over ourselves again and again, because of Christ, I'm not anxious about anything. I cast my cares on him because he cares for me. We've got to come to a place where daily, regularly, repeatedly, we declare to ourselves the truth about ourselves. Here's the challenge. I get it, folks. Here's the challenge, right? You might have something else going on, something other than what I just mentioned. And here's what I understand. I understand that for some of you here, God's word and God's truth, or just scripture in general, it may not come as readily to you. I understand that. That's what makes this stuff tough. I understand that. And so here's what I would say to do, right? Phone a friend. Ask me or ask Pastor Jonathan if you have to. Google search, right? Whatever you've got going on, and see what Bible verses pop up and read every single one it suggests until you find the truth, right? Scour God's word to find the truth that you need to hear most. And whatever it is, whatever emerges for you, right? Whatever is true about you, whatever is true about what God says about you, read it again and again. Write it, repeat it. Think it and confess it out loud until you believe it. Here's what we got to understand. It's going to feel, if you're like, the first time you do it, you're like, I don't even believe myself, right? Here's the deal. Anything new, no matter what you do, anything you do, it's going to feel a little bit awkward until you repeat it enough for your brain to design itself around it, right? So we've got to commit to creating the pathway in our minds that will make it easier for truth to travel. We've got to commit to creating the pathways that'll make it easier to claim truth again and again and again. We got to write it, repeat it, think it, and confess it until we believe it. Here's what I'm going to do as we wrap things up. I'm going to ask the band to join me on stage, and as they assemble behind me, I'm just going to close us with a quick word of prayer. And when I say amen, I'm going to ask Brian and I'm going to ask the band to sing one final song for us. In many ways, I'm going to ask them to sing this song over us that I think will help to declare over us the truth about us. And I hope that the lyrics, I hope that the truth in this song about who we are will be an encouragement to you. So let me pray. God, we give you thanks for this place and for this time that we get to just quiet our minds for a second, God. This might be like the 1 hour in our entire week that we get to quiet our minds and to be still before you. So God, in this time and in this place that we quiet our minds, God, we also, we're trying to declare war in our minds at the same time. To take back the ground in between our ears, God, that is sending us in the wrong direction. God, our life, I really believe, will travel in the direction of our strongest thoughts, God. So we declare war on the lies that are taking over our mind. And God, we are asking for you to be clear to us. God, we are asking for you to illuminate somehow, somewhere, in scripture, in conversation, in songs on the radio, in prayers that people pray for us. God, we are asking for you to illuminate truth for us. Truth that would help to reconstruct and to renovate the highways and the byways in our mind. So God, in these next few moments, as the band sings to us the truth about us, I pray that we would hold on, that we would grab a hold of something, some line, some word, some promise, some truth about who you say that we are. And we pray that it might help us to live more fully into what is true in our everyday life. And we pray these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.